Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
God bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning? I'll ask Brother Kennedy if he'd lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
Almighty God, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Oh, merciful Father, we look unto you this morning again, O God.
Yes.
As always, Lord, we seek your help.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy.
Yes.
Your compassions that are renewed every morning.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, we pray this morning you would come and just meet with us, O God.
Yes.
You would touch us, O Lord God.
Yes.
Each and every one of us, O Lord God.
Yes.
From the ministers, O God, down to the least member in the assembly, O God.
Yes.
Every one of us, O Lord, we need you, O God.
Yes.
Remember us this morning, O Lord.
Yes.
Remember our loved ones. Remember our children, O Lord.
Yes.
O God, we pray you just have mercy upon us, Father.
Yes.
Bless us with thy word, O God, now we pray.
Yes.
In your wonderful name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn, if we would, to our Bibles, to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 5, Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, be reading from the scriptures. The scripture says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen."
Amen.
Lord, add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. I'd like to take a subject, and it's continuation from a message before, but just to flesh it out a little bit more, if we could turn the volume just a little bit down, yes. And just flesh it out a little bit more on identification, and if we could this morning to talk about character a little bit more on identification. So why are we talking about identification? Because the day that we're living in right now, in the environment, as spoken of in the scriptures and the message of the hour, it's a deceptive age. We know that. And so we know that the fourth horse rider, all the powers of darkness combined that horse rider, that power that we're living in right now. And looking at the scripture in Matthew chapter 24, saying that the elect could be deceived if it were possible. And so we know that the scripture all points to there is a time period which we are living in that we must be able to discern what is right and wrong. In the scriptures in Hebrews, it talks about those that are mature in their walk with the Lord have their exercise to discern both good and evil. And so there were several messages that the prophet spoke of towards the end of his ministry, identification, God, talking about God and his characteristics. So several messages like that, the identification or the characteristics of God, particularly in the latter stages of his ministry, 1963, 64, on down the line. And we know that there were also other messages preached, Satan's Eden, the God of this evil age, the seed of discrepancy, the seed shall not be heir with the shuck. And so all these showing that there is a difference between the wheat and the chaff, the good and the evil, the two spirits, the religious spirit and the spirit of God. And so he is trying to get the bride to see that there's different identifiers for each side. So now we want to look at those identifications because, remember, he says that there's many things that are alike with both sides, but there's identifications between the two. And so when he talks about by their fruits you shall know them, then what are those fruits that he's talking about? So we want to get a little bit into that and dig a little bit further, because remember, it's not going to be very apparent, so we have to have our spiritual thinking caps to be able to see spiritually the difference between the two. So I'd just like to read this from the Message Identification, 1964, February 16th. It's Brother Branham makes a statement, "The Word molds God's character to us. And anything that's tried to be mixed with that character breaks that mold. You can't mix creed with word. You can't mix the world with the word. Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon means the world. You can't be one or the other. If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you. Is that true? Amen. Then you see you can't mix it. You can't mix oil and water. It just won't mix. You can churn it up and down, do anything you want to. It won't mix. And your character will not mix with the world. If you are being molded in the form of God by letting the mind that was in Christ be in you, that's the control tower, the direction." Now, so he says, letting the mind that was in Christ be in you, that's the control tower, that's the direction. Now in the Message, "The Greatest Battle Ever Fought," Brother Branham makes this comment, "There was has to be a place selected. In this, there's a mutual ground, no man's land, and they fight here at this place. They just don't one fight over here and one down here and one run over here. There's a battlefront where they meet and test their powers, where each army tests its strength against the other army, a mutual meeting place. Now, don't miss this. When this great battle started on earth, there had to be a mutual meeting place. There had to be a place selected for the battle to begin and for the battle to rage. And that battlegrounds begin in the human mind. There is where the battle starts. The human mind was chosen for the place of the battle, where it was begun, and that is because that decisions are made from the mind, the head. Now, they never started it from some organization. They never started from some mechanical affair. The grounds never started there. Therefore, that organization can never do the work of God, because the battlegrounds where you've got to meet your enemy is in your mind, is in the mind. You've got to make your choice. It meets you. There's the battleground right there. So you must have an understanding here. That's why he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." If you have the same mind as Christ Jesus, then you can win the battle. Now it says here, "Decisions are made in the mind, the head. There is where Satan meets you, and the decisions are because that God made a man that way." So we can say other battlegrounds is where we're fighting Satan, but our prophet said it is in the mind where the battleground is. So if that is where the battleground is, then I need to have the focus of the Word of God in that area, right, in order to defeat the enemy. And so the devil is going to try to make us to make the wrong decisions. So we've got to protect that mind with the Word of God. Yes. Now, we're going to go a little bit more into the subject of identification, and namely on character. Now, in the Message Identification preached in 1963, January 23rd, he said this, "Let our lives be so salty that others can watch the way we act and live, that they'll want to live that way too. You know, Jesus said, 'Ye are the salt of the earth.' But if the salt has lost its testimony, its savor, its drawing power, then it can no more heal or save." So there is the power that lays in what God puts in us to make us salty. There is something that produces, and so we can say all we want, But there is an actual substance, there's an actual power that emanates from us that draws the people of God to us. It draws word to word. And so we must ensure, because remember, whenever we mix something with the word of God, an idea or what have you, then it becomes powerless, right? And so therefore, that's why, Brother Branham speaks about the fivefold ministry to preach the word of God to keep it clean, yeah, right? The body clean. And so the word of God must be kept clean and unadulterated. When there's something that comes in, then it renders it powerless. Although it may have most of the semblance of the word of God, you add anything to it, becomes powerless. You can have 99% of it correct, but that 1% will make it powerless. And so we've got to be very careful. Now, he says this in the message, continuing on here in identification, talking a little bit further, he makes this statement here. So he talks about a little boy looking in a mirror, and he doesn't realize who that person is because he's never seen a mirror before. But after a while, he makes the hand gestures and he realizes that's him. And he says, that's me. And Brother Branham makes this statement, and that's what we want to look at tonight. I want to look at me and I want you to look at yourself. And as we look into God's great mirror of his word, let's be able to identify ourselves with some that we're going to speak about, some of the characters of other times. So we want to look into the mirror of God's word and we want to evaluate ourselves, right? And so the word judges us right now. We don't want to go into the second resurrection. We don't want to go into that judgment. We want the word to judge us right now. And so the bride of Christ looks at the word, hears the word of God and says, I want to be corrected. I want to meet that word, although I'm falling short of it. That bride wants more of that word so that they can correct themselves. And so the bride of Christ is hungry for that word. Every opportunity that the bride of Christ gets to listen to that word and to hear that word of God, that bride comes, right? I mean, if you don't have something in there, you won't be drawn to it. And so you're just coming because of something compelling you, some outside making you feel bad, or you feel like you're supposed to do it, but the bride of Christ, there's something in there that draws them to church, that draws them to hear the word of God, that drew you here to be in Sunday school. You notice that there's not that many people in here. And so it's because the bride of Christ has a hunger for the word of God. Every opportunity, as I spoke, that they want to hear, they want to read the word of God, they want to listen to the word of God, they want to pray. There's a something driving them in that direction. Now, he says this. Now, Jesus gave us the example of what we ought to be looking at when he reflected his life to us through the word. What we should see when we look into God's mirror, we should see ourselves identified with him. That is a perfect example. Now, but we find out that as we go along through life, that our character molds the image that we are. Each one knows that you, as you live, so is your character, molds you to what you are. Now, you have seen people that you just love to be around. Yet they might not exactly be in your bracket of society. And again, they might be of a different race, the colored or the brown or the yellow. But there's just something about that character that you just love to be in their presence. Because each person is a little dynamo of their own, and you put out an atmosphere. So the Spirit of God puts out something that draws, and there's a pleasantness. Remember, the Spirit of God has peace, love, joy, all those things. And who doesn't like that? Right? And when you see people that were noble people, but yet you were always glad to get away from them. It's just they create such an atmosphere around where you are. Nothing against them, They're nice people, but you just don't like that atmosphere they're in. And their character creates whatever they are, makes them what they are. So there's a good atmosphere, and then there's another kind of an atmosphere that he's talking about. But, you know, we're getting down to more than what we say. It's something that is driving our life. And something that is coming out from us, it drives our character, it drives our actions that are taking place. When God looked upon his lost creation after he made it and fashioned it just the way he wanted. And I like to look at in its origination. I love the outdoors because there, that must be the way he wants it, or he wouldn't have made it that way. And we come around and pervert it and make something out of it that doesn't please him. But his loving character molded. So you go out into the wilderness, you go out into the mountains where there's lots of trees, there's a lake. It's very peaceful. And when you get out there, you can sense the Spirit of God because that's his creation. That was in his mind. And so when you go out into those areas, you're naturally going to have the same peace that you would around the Spirit of God because that's his nature. You see God's character in nature and how it grows, how the leaves provide shade and coolness to people to keep them from the elements. And so that's the way that God does to us, to shade us and protect us with his leaves. You know, he calls the leaves healing. He likens leaves to fellowship, different things like that. But you can see all those qualities in nature. Now he says, God seeing that his great plan in creation of mankind to inhabit the earth and to live in peace and never to die, never to be sick or have a heartache or any worry, or what a way that the Father provided for us. And that was his desire too, for us to be in that way. And we spoke on a message on one Wednesday night about faith and love and the family and just trying to draw the picture of how Brother Branham drew that picture of how it was in the Garden of Eden, how much peace there was and love, joy. And it drew perfect faith because there was a perfect atmosphere to build a perfect confidence in God and what was around them. There was no fear, right? The animals, they didn't have provide fear. The animals, they were not vicious like they are right now because they're vicious because of the spirits that are roaming around right now. But in that different time period, lion, tiger, all those animals, they were harmless because they were under the submission of God, and that same spirit roamed around throughout the earth. And when he seen that his creation had fallen, now his own loving character molded himself into the person of Christ. God's own character of love projected himself in the man Christ. As Paul speaking here, thinking it not robbery, but making himself equal to God rather. See, his own character molded that kind of a person. Oh, no one could ever do that but God. This was done so that he could pay the penalty of the fall of his creation. Now, going down and talking about God's love and God's own love for the world created the character expressed in Christ. He was God's character. He was God's expressed image. In him was God, God in Christ, revealing himself to the world. And no love could ever be greater than that love, that such a person would become what he did in order to redeem what had been lost. Now he goes on to speak about the character of God. Now I want us to go to a couple scriptures here. If we can turn to the book of John and go to chapter, I believe it is 14. Now, John chapter 14, going to verse 7, we'll read here. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So Jesus is saying, you know, talking about the Father, talking about him, and then Philip's going, okay, show us the Father. And then Jesus says, don't you even know that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Have I not known you? And so Jesus, being a man, but there was God in a man projecting himself from that man. And so it was a character of Jesus Christ. It was a word made real. It was a word made manifest. And so when you saw Jesus, you saw the Father. And so now he takes it further because he says here, he says, The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And so Jesus, the works that he did was all the Father, but they were showing through Jesus Christ. Now, they're showing a characteristic of who he is. Now he says, Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So now he's talking about the works that Jesus did. What are those works? He said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. So the same works that Jesus did, the same characteristics, the same life that was projected from Jesus is going to be projected in you. And then when they see you, they see the Father. And so he says this in chapter 15, if you skip over to there, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now he's talking about a vine and branches. Then he's likening himself and to us and talking about fruit. Now he says, Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now we need to be so much in Christ that we are together. He says, as a vine is in the branch is in the vine. And then when this happens, then you are bearing fruit. If you don't have that life there, if you don't have Christ there, you can't do anything. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. There's no life there. You won't be able to produce fruit. There's no life, you just wither and you die. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And so now he is talking about the way that he wants this relationship to be between Christ and his bride. And so much that whatever God poured into Christ, the same thing he pours into you, and that when they see you, they see the Father, and it's all intertwined. Amen. And then you will produce the same works, the same fruit that Jesus Christ did. Amen. And you will have the same mind that he did. And so whatever you say, it will happen, because it's not you speaking, it's the Father that's dwelling in you speaking. Amen. And so when we take that back to the prophet and different men of the Bible, including Jesus Christ, and they would speak the word, and the word would be manifested, because the Father and them became one. Amen. And so we can't become one with the Father if we're not feeding on Christ himself. And so therefore, that's why he says we must constantly be in the word of God and prayer. Now he says, Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, So shall ye be my disciples, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now, I want us to turn to a couple more scriptures so we understand the characteristics of the believer. So now turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, this is a very familiar scripture, but I want us to dissect it a little bit so we can see the characteristics that should be in our life as children of God. So verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So there are lots of things there. Prophecy, gifts, mighty works, faith to move mountains. I don't have charity. None of that matters. So now what is it that matters? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So if I give up everything and sacrifice everything, still doesn't matter. You must have charity. You must have Christ. So he says here, charity suffereth long. Now, as we read this, let's compare ourselves in the mirror of God's word. Charity suffereth long. That means you bear with one another. You have lots of patience. You have lots of forgiveness, even though people do not treat you right. And so whether that's, you know, dealing with your little children, your older children, whether it's dealing with people at work, dealing with other brothers or sisters that may be contrary to us. And remember, everybody is at a different level, right? Some people are new Christians. Some people are old, but something hasn't clicked maybe. Our children, they're still learning. Our teenagers, they don't have Christ perhaps. And so remember, when we go into the scriptures and see, you know, you don't see Jesus Christ or Brother Branham, lacking patience. You don't see them get upset with somebody and just cut them off and say, this is the way I told you, this is the right way. Because, you know, there is a right way, but it's all about how we go about with that right way, right? And so that was a difference in the scriptures of people that had the right, but they applied it the wrong way. They didn't apply it with the Spirit of Christ. And so a Spirit of Christ suffereth long, is patient, trying to understand, and is kind, gentle. So now, how do we treat our children? Are we treating kind, gently? Or do we fly off the handle with them? You know? It's good, the Word of God, the mirror of God's Word. Charity vaunteth not itself. What does that mean? It's not prideful, boastful. You know, we accomplish something in our life, and sometimes we want to talk about it, right? And when we talk about it, it shows kind of our maturity level. Because, you know, you'll be talking to somebody, and then they'll start talking about what they did and this and that, and then, you know, I mean, a child of God's going to take it and just go, okay, I understand, you know. But, you know, that person actually doesn't see it, doesn't recognize it, right? And that's where, you know, they don't see clearly. A child of God sees clearly. And that's what God wants to give us as we understand more of the Word of God, is to give us vision, to be able to see. I mean, the eagle sees very clearly, sees very far off, right? And when we can see very far off and understand sometimes, then it gives us the ability to bear with one another. When we don't understand, it gets frustrating. You know what I mean? And so when we look at the Word of God and the Scriptures, when we go through trials and tests and we don't understand the ways of God, then we got frustrated. Why is this happening to me? You know, I mean, if God is a God of mercy, why is this happening to me? If God is a God of love and peace, then why would he let this happen to me, right? And so when we don't understand, then we get frustrated. That's when people say, like, I can't believe a God that would be like this, but it's a little without understanding. Because the more that we look in the scriptures and understand the word of God, then we know these things were for a purpose for us. And we'll get to that when we get to character, because each child of God must suffer trials, tribulations, and persecutions. It is in the word of God. And so the reason why us as Christians, we don't accept that many times and get frustrated is because we don't have a revelation sometimes of what the word of God says in that regard. And so God lets us go through those things, and then eventually we get more and more of an understanding, and it helps us to go through those trials. I mean, God lets us go a little bit at a time in different things. The scripture says, line upon line, here a little, there a little. God doesn't just try to jump us from point A to point B all at once. He goes little bit by little bit. And so we learn as we're going along. So we look and we see 5, 10, 15 years ago, we're much more mature than we were back then. But he brings it a little bit at a time. Now, when we look, let's go back to the scriptures. Is not puffed up. So when you see yourself getting outside of this, then we know we're getting outside of the Spirit of Christ. We're getting outside of the Word of God. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. So unseemly means inappropriately, at the wrong time. Seeketh not her own is not selfish. So, you know, I always like to go through this because in brothers that are married, they can always relate to this, but when you get married, I mean, it really helps you to see your selfishness. Can anybody say amen that's married? I mean, I did, yeah. So you live all your life just fending for yourself, and then you get married, and now you think about other people, but when there's a conflict with that other person and what you want to do, then it comes out, and you say, why don't we do this? And okay, what's your motivation for that? It becomes a selfish thing, and then your wife calls you out on it and says, well, aren't you being selfish? And you go, no. And then when you peel the thing back, then you realize, okay, I am being selfish. But then it's hard to take, right? It's hard to admit. But then as you go on in marriage, you still go through that until all of it gets exposed, and then you deal with it, and you try to change as much as you can, and a good husband is going to want to change, because they love their wife, right? So they hear the comment, and then they say, oh, maybe I should do, a husband that doesn't truly love his wife is going to ignore that. And that's going to cause a problem. But a husband that loves his wife truly becomes a good student, right? Take notes and you try to, okay, I'll try to do this. My wife likes this. I'll try to do this, right? And it wins a lot of points. Now it says, is not easily provoked. So provoked means, somebody says something cross to you or does something wrong to you, and then you react. So when somebody does that to you, we can all ask ourselves in the mirror and say, how do we react? And we can look at our situation, because a lot of men go to work. You deal with different personalities. I can attest to it. I have several examples recently, and you go through that. And, sometimes I feel that the Lord has helped me to deal with it a little bit better now. But when young age in the 20s, then you just want to go off the handle. You want to say something. They do something to you, then you want to say something back, something witty, as we call it, a comeback, right? And you want to, they cut you down, you want to cut them down, right? I mean, that's kind of how it goes. But You know, the Spirit, I mean, it comes naturally to a child of God to not react. So if you are trying to do it on your own, then eventually you're going to blow up, right? You're going to have that and you're going, I really want to say something bad to that person, but I know I'm not supposed to. Okay, that might work that time, but the next time and the next time, and eventually it's going to go, you know, it's going to come out, right? But the Spirit of God allows it to come naturally, right? Now, it doesn't happen all at once, but it happens over time and tests and trials and tribulations because it says the trying of our faith worketh patience. So the trials, the tests, they help to build our patience to be able to take that. How many times do I need to forgive my brothers? 70 times 7. That's a lot of times. So, you know, spiritually or emotionally punched in the face, you know, 10 times, 20 times, and still you should have plenty of room to forgive. That's tough. Now, he says here, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Now, running out of time, I want us to hold the scripture, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. So thinking on what charity is, and that is Christ, really, essentially. So if you have the Spirit of Christ, you will do the works that are talked about in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? So the Spirit produces this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, so looking at how you deal with other people, you and I deal with other people, do we continuously project love? This is a rhetorical question. Just ask yourself this, because we're looking into the mirror of God's word. So are we projecting love? Do we have a lot of joy in our life? You know, and is that what we're projecting, not just here, but at home on a daily basis, right? In the good and the bad times, is that happening? Do we have peace? Or is there a lot of fighting and war in our homes or in, you know, our domain or where we're working and things like that? Are we patient? Are we long-suffering? Are we gentle with others? You know, are we gentle with our children? Are we gentle with our siblings? Are we gentle with our brothers and sisters? Goodness, faith, meekness. Are we humble? You know, do we have pride sometimes? Or we are projecting meekness? Because meekness is not interpreted as strength, you know, in the world. And the world likes a strong man, right? They like Trump. You know, he's strong. Because, you know, he can get things done. He's, you know, but meekness is totally opposite of that. And so are we willing to give up, you know, the worldly attributes in order to let Christ live, right? And so sometimes when somebody does something to us, then the world says, fight back, right? But God says, no, have patience, you know, slap you on the cheek. Turn to him the other cheek, right? So it's then, you know, and then they say, why don't you do this? And then so you got to stand on the word. And so, you know, when he tells us to stand on the word no matter what, those are times when you're standing on the word. Amen. When you're tempted to do the ways of the world and act that way. We're not just talking about, you know, not doing immoral or corrupt things, but we're talking about the word says to do this and behave this way. So I'm going to submit to the word of God and act that way. You know, even though the people around me say, you know, that guy has done this to you so many times, you ought to just do this. And remember, Brother Brand was tempted to do that, Lee Vail, right? He said, why don't you just do this? And he says, you know, God's doing it. And David, remember, let him alone. The Lord told him to do it. David had the heart. And so that's easy to look at and say, that's right. But then when it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, right? So now go to work and then see what happens, right? And so when we fall short, then we want to pray to God, right? And Lord, help me. Now, temperance. Temperance means holding our tongue. Self-control. And we'll go into that a little bit more because that's a tough one. It is. It just is. Whether, you know, we just, part of it's American society, part of it's just human nature, but our tongue just tends to fly too much, too often. Yeah. And, you know, somebody will talk about a certain situation and it'll jog something in your mind and then it'll be harmless in the beginning, but then another thought jogs in and it reminds you of somebody that did something to you, and then you start to talk about that, and then before you know it, you're saying something that's not godly about that individual, right? And that's, it just happens like this. And so the Bible says, quick to hear, slow to speak. And so that's part of coming under subjection to the Word of God, to control the tongue. And James talks about it. It's an unruly thing, and it's talks about fire of hell being related to that tongue because it's so powerful. You can damage a lot by that tongue. You know, say something sharp about an individual, and you know, it's destroying that individual. So we've got to be careful. Now, I'm going to read a couple more things. Definitely, this is not going as fast as I originally was anticipating, but talking about the character a little bit more, because Brother Branham goes into it. Now, here in the adoption, part 2, 1960, he says this. Now, he's talking about love. He says, all in love, the whole thing is bundled up now. This has been tried to be taught on many times, and no doubt, so I'm not sure if he's talking about love or adoption, but I'm going to continue on here. And no doubt, what great theologians has struck it a lot deeper than I could. But the thing I want to try to get to you is this. Now, pay attention to this. That a man that is in Christ with the Holy Ghost can bear with a man when he's wrong. So, you know, sometimes we have discussions, and maybe it's even about the Word of God, and somebody can be totally wrong. And so sometimes you want to just go in there and just correct that person and say, no, you're wrong. But we've got to sometimes yield to the Spirit of God and step back and just let that person start to talk and let them, you know, express themselves. And then use wisdom. Remember the scripture says, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so sometimes it's, you know, we get in a hurry sometimes and we're not patient and we just want to jump in there. But sometimes we got to just let things work itself out, right? And then God at the right time will let us be able to speak in that situation. And the love of God gives us more patience and more understanding with individuals, right? And so people that are definitely wrong, it helps us to bear with that person. And, you know, even though they're doing a lot of wrong things and they've treated us wrong, that you can bear with that person and still love that person. And so, you know, I'm talking about the identification of the characteristics of God. So we've got to look at ourselves in the mirror and see, how do we measure up to that? If we're falling short on that, then we've got to have more of Christ. We've got to have more of the Spirit of God. We've got to be more yielded to the Spirit of God. We've got to have the same mind of Christ. We've got to get into the Word. We've got to spend more time in prayer. And some of it has to do with training. Because some of these things is part of the training that God brings us through trials and tests and tribulations, to allow us to get to that stage. You know, you have the Spirit of God, but you may not be mature. You may be a babe. You may be a toddler. You may be a five-year-old or eight-year-old, but you've got to go through the training. And some of the training means correction. Some of the training means discipline. Some of the training is, you know, you have a hard time. You go through a real big valley. But I think a lot of us can attest that when we go through that valley, that we learn so much from that valley. I mean, we don't like it, and believe us, I mean, all of us, I think we can say the same thing, as we kind of dread going through another one like that. But when we come out of it, we say, it helped so much. Because I learned so much. I learned, you know, 100 things, whatever it may be. And, you know, going through that also, it builds a kind of a barrier, right? I mean, you know, a little child puts their hand on a stove. Ah, I don't want to do that again. And so when you go through that test and trial, there are certain things you don't want to do again. And that's part of the training that we go through. Amen. Now, I've got to stop right here, and so much more to go, and I believe you'll thoroughly enjoy what the message of the hour talks about in this character subject. But it's, I believe that this is an important part of the bride's journey as she walks along, because Brother Branham talks about the character. This is what we take with us when we leave. And this is a difference between the bride of Christ and the children of the devil. It's the character. He talks about character being the victory, and it's the only thing that we'll take with us when we go out of here. So let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we love you and thank you so much for thy word. And Lord, we want to look into the mirror of the word of God, O Lord. And because we have a desire in our heart to fulfill what you want us to be. You said in your word that we would abide in you and you and us and you, O Lord, and we would be one. Dear Father, and so if we are one with you, we have got to have the same characteristics that you had, O Lord. And Lord Jesus, help us to be able to clearly see, O Father, the characteristics of Christ in detail, O Father, so that we can recognize that, so that when we look at our lives, then we can see where we are falling short, so that we can say, help me, Lord. And so, Lord, you can correct us. And then we can yield ourselves to the Word of God. And also to be able to discern what we're seeing outside of us, whether it's in among brothers and sisters or the assembly or elsewhere out, we can recognize what is Christ and what is not. Giving us also the spirit of love and compassion when we see men, women, brothers and sisters that are falling short or out of the way, to help bring them out of the fire, O Lord. And to have compassion on them, O Lord Jesus, to reach out to them, O Father, whether it's in prayer or just lending a hand physically or spiritually, O Father. Lord Jesus, we want more of the Spirit of Christ in us, O Lord Jesus, so that we can do the works of Christ. Lord Jesus, we love you and thank you, O Lord. Bless each brother and sister that is here, O Lord. And Lord, there's a desire in their hearts, O Lord, to be here, to hear the word, because they want to be closer to you. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would just continue to hover over us, O Lord Jesus, and guide us in the song service, O Lord. Let your spirit roam in the sanctuary, O Father, and have the preeminence there, that you will let the praise of your people and your name be lifted up, O Father. And Lord, lay your hand upon the minister as he brings forth the word, and help him to yield himself. Help them to be working on both ends, O Father, so that you can be glorified. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.